You are tuning into All In with Ace. Eight friends who met in college 20 plus years into the future decided to record a podcast and talk about apparently reattaching your lock.
Black people are amazing. How y'all doing?
Black people truly are amazing. Yes, we are.
Black people are amazing. Everybody's doing good on the Sunday. We recording early, y'all. So some stuff that we may talk about might be a little outdated when this podcast go up. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But just FYI. In case anybody curls.
Oh, I ain't supposed to curse today?
No, Sunday? Man, you can curse. Nigga, come on.
Oh, you know I got a potty mouth, my bad.
No.
Last Sunday when you were on, or was that a Friday?
That was a Friday. Last Sunday, I think I was drunk. I ended up falling asleep on y'all because I kept on asking for the time, and you know I gotta have a specific time, and then I'll know how to, pace myself. Yeah.
I see.
Some days I just don't have nothing to do, so you know.
You said wait.
No, I was a little bit. I was asleep by 4 o'clock. I think that's when y'all started, if I'm not mistaken. So 4:30 or something like that. My time.
Yeah.
I was knocked out. I was in a coma.
Wait, with a nap, or you were knocked out like sleep?
I was high as fuck. I was high. Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry.
Ain't no need to apologize.
I gotta get my priorities back right. You know, I'm enjoying my time. That's all.
Right, please enjoy your time. You have done your service, my dig.
You have. It,
please, ain't nobody mad. Hi, I don't have no, I kind of got an icebreaker.
Okay, what's your icebreaker, Bridget?
Oh, man,
yeah. Really good icebreakers, by the way.
Who is the most famous person you've ever met?
The one
I guess I should go
mind.
First.
Yeah, you should go first, yes.
We met Marsha Ambrosius, that lady.
Marsha from, Ambrosia? Isn't it Ambrosia?
Yeah, from Floetry. The chick from Floetry, right?
Floetry?
Yeah. Yes, the light.
And when you say meet, this wasn't like a concert, right? This was like you met
her. It was
her.
A concert. She was about to go on stage. Okay, so me and Q was out. We went to a concert. Our seat sucked. It was a big ass speaker in the way. And Q was like, I don't like these seats. I'm gonna talk to somebody and see what they can do. So, and I forgot who we were going to see. We was going to see Marsha. I don't remember, y'all. I'm so sorry. I don't think Marsha was like the headliner. It was somebody else who was the headliner. But whatever. It was neither here or there. But Q was like, I don't like these seats. I'm finna go talk to somebody. So I'm like, okay. This nigga is embarrassing me. So I'm like, this man just gonna tell somebody, I don't like these seats. And something's supposed to happen. Okay. Something did happen. So the owner or whoever was sponsoring the concert was like, y'all can come back here. Y'all can actually go on stage, go back, you know, go behind the scenes, and y'all can watch the show from behind the stage or whatever. I was like, for real? So we went back there, and as we were going back there, I was like, damn, they go Marsha. And Q was like, yep, that's her. And Q, being the nigga he was, he walked right up to her, was like, she about to go on stage and perform now. He was like, can we get a picture? She took a picture. She was real cool. She was like, yes,
she absolutely did.
Oh. And she's even prettier in person. Like, pictures don't do her justice. Like, she's
she really that yellow.
Yeah, she really
that
very
yellow.
High bright.
Like bright. Okay.
Very high bright. But yeah. So that's like one of the most famous people I've ever met. And we still got the picture. We saw up on Facebook.
Huh. I mean, it's pretty cool that Quinn was like, these seats suck. I'm talking to somebody. They can always tell you no, right?
That's hey. That's why I married him. That man, he ain't got no problem. Hey, I don't like this. Somebody need to rectify it. And they rectified it, and we watched the show from behind the stage. Yep.
Pretty cool.
So, I think mine is Ramona Lofton, is her name. She's a writer. The woman that made Push.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I got a autographed copy of Push upstairs. I don't know where I was at. I know it was back in the, I can't remember if it was like 2098 or something like that, but I got an autographed copy of her book, Push. And I think she did Precious and all that other stuff too. That was like the most, I've met other famous people, but that's my most memorable one.
I was gonna say it was written in 98. I don't think I read it until
It was written in 96, but I don't know if it was coming down there to Tennessee or something. I have an autographed copy from her. And probably it might have been when I came down to Tennessee or Georgia or something like that, but I got an autographed copy. Or it could have been when I first joined the military and stuff, because you know they be having people when they do books and stuff and they sell them at the PX, they'll have them come in and somewhere along the line, I got an autographed copy. Can't remember where you
are. Oh, okay. That's pretty good. I don't think I read that book until like years later. It's like 2004, 3 or 4.
Yeah, it had been out for a minute. Because that's when I got my mama to start reading her. And then that's when she started reading Amiri Bacara and then like a whole bunch of other folks she didn't know nothing about and stuff. So that was our little focal point. I gave her the book. I was like, oh, yeah, she autographed it for me. And she was all excited about it. So.
Oh, you still have that book?
I keep my books now.
See, got to be an educated Negro.
Keep my books now.
All right, man, your turn.
So the one that comes to mind is I met Ocho Cinco. So this was when he was in Cincinnati. This is when I lived in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio area. I was meeting somebody for like brunch. I don't even know who I was meeting for brunch, to be honest. But I was sitting there waiting for brunch and he walks in. I'm like, oh, look at Ocho Cinco. And so I tap him and say, hey, you know, is it possible I can get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure. And then I asked him, could I get an autograph from Michael? Because Michael was a big football fan at the time. I think Ocho, he wasn't playing, but I think the last place he had played may have been Cincinnati. And so he was like, yeah, sure. He was really, really nice. And he took a picture with me. And so I still got the picture and I gave Michael the autograph. He was he wasn't as tall as I thought he was going to be in person. And he was smaller because he looks bigger on TV, but he was just super nice and just down to earth and was just like, yeah, you know, sure, whatever. Yeah, that's cool. And so I think that was the one that's most memorable for me.
This what's up.
That's the one that like to eat McDonald's and stuff. You always talking about eating McDonald's. That's how I got to remember folks. But yeah, that's the, yeah.
Okay. You know, I remember him more because he was on, what's that show, The Game? He had a guest appearance on The Game. He was playing this guy named Chad Tia Mari, and she was playing, I forgot her name on the show, Melody. She was playing the character Melody. She had broken up with Derwin, and she was out there dating, and they had marked her as like a good girl in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's all like, I remember him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was just thinking, but then... You know, I remember him changing his name to Ocho Cinco. So that's why I'm calling him Ocho Cinco. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched.
Wasn't he on, what's the name? Wasn't he talking to one of them chicks on Basketball Wives?
Evelyn.
Oh, yeah, he was. Evelyn. He was talking to Evelyn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, okay. He was getting some bad press with Evelyn. I think this was like after him and Evelyn had been together, they had broken up. And I didn't even think about that part. I was just like, I'm going to take it. You know, because it's Ocho Cinco and Michael likes football. And he said, so I don't know if it was before or after, honestly. I don't know if it was before that time or after that time. But he was still super nice at the time I met him.
Mm-hmm. They had a very volatile relationship.
Volatile and brief, wasn't it? Wasn't it brief?
Volatile. He headbutted the fuck out that motherfucker. She got stitches. Come on, man.
It was beyond volatile. That was like, and volatile is an understatement.
Yeah.
I was trying to find, you know, political correct words to say, but goddamn. Yeah, he did.
You can't make headbutt politically correct. I'm sorry. That's just not a... To me, I don't like
no
it.
Way.
I don't like that. Ain't, yeah, that ain't, no.
But yes, he was. Yeah, there was a lot going on. But I watched them on the I Am Athlete podcast with him, Brandon Marshall, Channing. I forgot.
Is he turning it on there? I've heard about that one, but I haven't listened to it yet. But they've been having some good people on there. I think the last one I seen was it Dez? Was it Dez Bryant?
Yeah,
but he was saying that stuff about
Cap.
Yep, the dude with the phone.
Oh, he's my Kaepernick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was going in on Kaepernick, and then that other chick, the one, Jamila Hill, I think.
Oh, Jamila.
Jamila, yeah, she went off on him, but yeah.
Wait, okay, so Jamila went off on Dez because Dez was going in on Kaepernick?
He was basically saying how Colin ain't did shit for... I guess the cause, the movement, and all this other stuff, when he actually has done a whole lot of stuff. And then Jamila went in on him, like, this is the initiatives that he didn't have. This is how much money he didn't raise. Like, he might not have talked to you specifically, but to me, in situations like that, you got to make yourself available. And he probably wasn't doing it at the time. Because Colin, they did a whole bunch of stuff, like, and raised a whole lot of money, but everybody still wouldn't talk down on him and stuff. It was just a weird place interview. I don't know. I didn't like the way he was, like, he did go in on him for like nothing, if you ask me.
Okay, so since we're on Kaepernick, do you feel like Kaepernick's protest was truly what he intended it to be? Or do you think it just so happened to fall into a good opportunity?
I say a little bit of both, because where he got the idea from, it came from a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, he got the idea, it came from a soldier. The soldier's like, well, hey, why don't you do this? But if you think about it, like, with all of the stuff that was going on, like with the Olympics and all that other stuff, it's been shit that they done did, like, over the years to signify, you know what I'm saying, we here, see us, and all that other stuff. So kind of a little bit of both. But it just so happened it's because we had the black president, and then they didn't want another one to be nowhere around. So here come Mr. Man and shit. So anything he did at that time frame, it was gonna be construed as being negative, but it wasn't, not to me.
Yeah. And you know, after Trump said something about it, that's
I ain't even want to say his name. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, I go back. Toupee fiasco
did
something about it. This shit went like left. Yes.
Real quick. And lost its original meaning, and then everybody started getting mad. But it did usher in a new day when it come down to the NFL and all the other stuff. Because if you see now, this year, the whole halftime show is, what is it, Mary J. Blige, Dr. Dre.
Because
they talk about Jay-Z. For partnershiping with them. But if you've noticed, you've seen a whole lot of color.
But hold on. After Jay-Z previously told, what was it? Was it Travis Scott? He was telling some other performers not to perform at the halftime show. Don't perform at the NFL halftime show. Yet he decides that he's now going to be like the musical director or have a piece in the halftime show.
Yeah, but I think it was because that was making them get their worth, basically. Because he's on the money side of shit now. So to me, that was him telling them not to do it because they wasn't gonna make a whole lot.
They didn't stand behind Cap, but at the same time, that's because Jay-Z's role with the NFL is convoluted now. Because now Roc Nation does stuff with the NFL. After he had, but I mean, when shit first popped off with Cap, Jay-Z was like, don't nobody put, you know, we allegedly, because I don't know if
allegedly, you're right, allegedly,
he was telling other people not to perform with, you know, and then like, I guess, you know, after the shit with Cap popped off, we realized Cap really ain't finna play with NFL anymore. But Jay-Z inserted himself and he started talking to Roger Goodell and he was like, maybe I can do better work on the inside and kind of see, like, okay, Cap kneeled, because he said this. He was like, Cap kneeled so we could pay attention to, you know, police brutality and all of that. But what do we do after that? He's brought awareness to what's going on. What are we to do after the kneeling? Like, we need to have a plan for that. And I think, I'm not well versed. I'm just kind of pulling shit together here. So excuse me. So I think Jay-Z and Roc Nation working with the NFL, because they're doing other stuff besides just the NFL halftime show. They're like, you know, they have money that they're giving to different causes for different things that affect Black people. Like, it's other stuff that's going on within the NFL too. And I don't think people are bringing that up enough. Cause now we're kind of, cause they're like, I didn't expect this backlash. Like, we done just hopped on the subject, but anyway, I didn't expect this backlash that the social media is giving to Jay-Z for giving us a bomb ass halftime show. Like, nigga, Mary J.
It's the commercials and stuff too. They're doing a whole lot of the diversity commercials and all that other stuff. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on.
But here's the thing though, right? Because if we're gonna be honest, Black people were performing on the halftime show. I think
if not like that.
No, they were like that for real.
Who you talking about? Janet.
So one person. That's definitely a problem.
Or was that popped out? And Black people.
Was that person gonna have their own show, or is that person doing it with somebody else that's a headliner?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so like Beyonce and Bruno Mars, they performed together. There was nobody else headlining but those two. So, I mean, that in itself has been a really good halftime show. Prince headlined all by himself. He didn't have anybody else performing with him. So there have been plenty of Black artists that have headlined or performed for the halftime show.
Travis Scott performed,
it was just him. Travis Scott, when The Weeknd performed, it was just The Weeknd.
That's after Jay-Z.
Travis Scott was before Jay-Z.
I don't remember Travis. I swear to God, excuse me. I believe that's after Jay.
No, Travis Scott was during the time when Jay-Z was telling people not to perform. Travis Scott chose to perform, even though Jay-Z was telling other artists not to do it.
Okay, so we'll count Travis. Who will?
So Travis was one. I can probably go back, and those are the people that come to the forefront of my mind. Yeah, Janet was one of them. Michael Jackson performed. So for us to say there hasn't been any Black headliners would be incorrect because of Jay-Z. But I think the piece about Jay-Z taking over the halftime show is
allegedly, right?
I mean, if he did that, that's fine. But I think the part that makes it not puts a bad taste in some people's mouths, that instead of him telling performers, hey, don't perform unless you get X, versus just telling them not to perform, is where maybe some of the rub is in that bad taste. Because soon after allegedly him telling artists not to perform, he now allegedly is part of the people that's helping with the performance. So it just gives the appearance as if, you know, why is it good for you to do it, yet you were instructing other people, again, allegedly, not to. There's a lot of alleges in that conversation. But you see what I mean?
We don't know.
Right?
We just gotta put shit together.
We don't know, but it's the thought that, I heard that he told people not to perform, and then the next year, he the one signing the contract, a big deal contract, allegedly again, with NFL. So that's the appearance that it gives.
So your problem is, I'm just trying to iron it out here, that he was telling people not to perform, but now he's creating situation where he getting more people of color, because more people of color have been on that damn halftime show since he has.
So I don't know if I see it as him getting more people of color to perform. I feel like I see it as him deciding to tell people not to do something and then turning around and doing the same thing he told people not to do. I don't know if I could say he truly has given more opportunities, because I don't see, I mean, and I could be missing it, but most of the halftime show is not mixed. It's always had Black people on it. Always.
It had. I'm just going to keep it.
Ooh, what halftime show specifically?
We just named five, and that's been it.
There have been more with mix. Like, yeah, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers performed with, I forgot who they performed with, but they were on with a mixture of groups of people. Yeah, so there have been several artists that they mixed in together to perform with the halftime show.
And we don't remember them niggas. Because when you said Beyonce and Bruno, keep in mind, that was Coldplay's halftime show.
It did not feel like Coldplay's halftime show.
It was their halftime show. Bruno, he brought out friends. Shout out to Chris Martin. He brought out Beyonce and Bruno to help him with their halftime show.
Well, I thought it was just, look, literally, because they performed twice. Bruno performed twice.
Beyonce performed twice, but that's what I meant by them not being a headliner. They wasn't the headliner. They've never been the headliner, except for Prince, because Prince does have that extensive catalog and stuff. Everybody know Prince from being butt naked on a horse and shit. But you get what I'm saying, though. Like, they, except for them, and they got like longevity. Usually, it don't happen like that. It happened for Janet. Even with Janet, she brought out Justin Timberlake, and that's what caused all the controversy.
But she chose to bring out Justin Timberlake. Let's be mindful of that. It was her show.
No. I got that much. I'm just saying, like, they really don't, like, headline like that to where they're the headliner. They might be the second or the third person. They might have the better record sales or something than the person that's actually playing. They might have more longevity than the person that's playing. But to say they're the headliner, it really don't be like that.
Because, for example, Katy Perry had a halftime show. It didn't get lit till she brought out Missy Elliott.
And Lenny Kravitz. Okay, so now I'm going back. Okay, so
the,
yeah.
But they weren't, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so is the person they named first, we're gonna assume that the person they named first or the group they named first is who was supposed to be headlining the show?
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2014, Bruno Mars is listed first. He has Red Hot Chili Peppers on here, but he was listed first. 2013.
He didn't perform first. I don't think he performed first. I think he's Red Hot Chili Peppers.
But we're going on this list of who they listed first. I don't know no other way to do it. Like,
I think you're right, though. Bruno did have, he was the highlight, he was the performer for that time.
Right, because in 2016, like when we were talking about, Coldplay's name is listed first on this list. And this is like, not like it's an approved list or whatever. It just says, well, I mean, it's from Sports Illustrated, Super Bowl halftime performances, all-time list. And on 2016, it has Coldplay first, then it has Beyonce, then Bruno Mars, then Mark Ronson in the University of California marching band. Okay, but just going through, like, so Beyonce and Destiny's Child perform in 2013. Nobody else.
Beyonce headline, yep.
Beyonce headline. 2011 is the Black Eyed Peas, Usher, and Slash. But Black Eyed Peas are listed first.
Woo, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that one at all.
I remember that one. I remember with Usher. I don't remember with Slash, though.
Usher was there?
Yep, Usher
was
there.
I don't remember that one at all.
Damn, I must really went and got some chips and dip.
You must have. Okay, so then Prince performed in 2007.
Yep.
Okay, 2004, it is Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson had a bunch of people. She had Kid Rock, P. Diddy, Jessica Simpson, Nelly, and Justin Timberlake, along with the University of Houston and Texas Southern University marching band.
Okay. And that's when it all went to shit. Cause after
that's when the nipple game.
Then it showed her 40-year-old titty. It was like they had to get niggas off that joint.
They put Aerosmith in the controversy. Yeah,
right.
That was the beginning.
They put Aerosmith out there. Won't be no 40-year-old titties coming out when Aerosmith is. I remember this shit. I was like, now they went way back. They don't want.
No, because after Janet, it was Paul McCartney.
Even now, older.
Right. They did. Now, I don't even know if you can call that. I don't know what to call that. Because, I mean, they old. They really old. Like, seasoned. Like people, I don't even know what genre to put them in because it's not young enough for me to count it as one way or another. Then in 2006, they did the Rolling Stones, but you will look before Janet. Now, before Janet, there are a number of people that probably okay, because Aerosmith performed in 2001.
Oh, okay.
It was called the Kings of Rock and Pop, so it had Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly. So Nelly has performed twice. This will be Mary J. Blige's, I think, second time performing. It may be her third, actually. So we'll keep going, though. So, like, in 2000, they had A Tapestry of Nations. They started naming them. I don't know why. They had themes.
But, okay. I got what you're saying, but my overall point is... has it been an
Let me give you these other two and then I'll be done. Okay, so in 99, you had Stevie Wonder, who was supposedly the headliner. Now, he had Gloria Estefan and Big Bag Voodoo Daddy. I don't know who that is. Okay, and then in 98, there was a Salute to Motown for the anniversary. And on that, everybody black. Boyz II Men, Smokey Robinson, The Temptations, Queen Latifah, Martha Reeves, and the Grambling State University Marching Band.
Now go look at the ratings.
For the halftime show? I want to look at the ratings for the halftime show. Okay.
For that specific halftime show.
Which one? The
one that was a Salute to Motown.
Okay, and then of course you have Michael Jackson, who was like...
Nigga, that's it. Michael Jackson was that nigga.
He was. Heal the world. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, you probably have the highest rating than anybody.
Go find that on YouTube. Kids don't understand how big fucking Michael Jackson was.
Michael Jackson was?
Okay. I'm a pivot when we finish because it was something that bothered me that I heard on these internet streets, but we keep talking about Super Bowl.
About
I'm gonna look up the ratings for the Motown 40th anniversary halftime show.
What year was this?
98, she said, I think. No, you said 98, right?
I think it was.
I
think she said 98.
But at the same time, while you looking up those ratings, even though there was a black halftime show, that's still geared more towards white people. When you talk
about Motown?
Yes. Absolutely. It's geared more towards white people. The whole point of Motown, and you talk about Berry Gordy, his whole thing was to cross over to white people. You look at this halftime show, girl, they got Eminem. I give you that. But look, Mary J. Blige finna get up there and do a goddamn dance. You already know that's about to happen, right?
In the dancery. But here's the thing now, Bridget. So okay. If that's the case, like, I disagree, one, because these are still all black artists. They didn't have to have no black artists on there. They chose to have all black artists. Now, I do understand where you're coming from when you're saying Motown, kind of like the way of doing business is to create a culture where they can be crossover, right? But if you truly think about it, if you're looking at all the artists that perform, how many of them aren't crossover artists?
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder is totally a crossover artist. What makes you think Stevie Wonder is not?
But you say I didn't, maybe I misheard the question. Are you saying those artists that perform for the Motown Review are not crossover artists?
No, I'm saying all the artists that they pick up for the halftime show are crossover artists.
To or me, they just in general
artists. In general, yeah.
To me, yeah. they go with hot at the time and stuff. And a lot of those artists, when it came down to getting awards, they wasn't getting some of the Grammy, well, later on in their career they was, but they wasn't getting the Grammys and the awards and all the other stuff from the show. So it did give them more recognition. I can't say that much, but at the same time, yeah.
But most of them, they cross over. So like, I mean, if we can hold against Motown, them stating or their way of doing business as focusing on the crossover. But I guess for me, I think all artists at some point have some type of crossover song for music. So I wouldn't label just Motown by themselves as focusing on crossover. All the artists that performed have some songs that are considered crossover songs. That's how they got big.
Are you talking? Okay, so in general, your statement
in general,
if you're performing at the halftime show, you do have some level of crossover.
Correct. Okay. Tell me,
I agree with it. Because you don't have just a Black audience. You have Black and white people watching the show.
Correct. So I wouldn't hold against Motown, specifically them, for their way of doing business as far as focusing on crossover, when every other artist who's performing at the halftime show has crossover songs. Maybe their whole albums or their whole entire career aren't crossover music, like they're not doing it that particular or didn't start out, but they definitely have a focus where they crossover.
Okay. So what are we disagreeing? We disagreeing with what? What are we disagreeing with?
I disagree with, like, you made the point to say, Motown's music is all crossover music, so it's kind of like they created a halftime show that would be not specific to white people, but white people would definitely enjoy it. And so if we're going to say that about Motown, we should say that about every artist that's performing, because they all have songs that are crossover songs that they satisfy with their white audience too.
Okay. But I don't know. I mean, I hear you, but I'm just trying to see. We agree, but what's the overall point that you what you were making?
I guess you made it sound like that Motown don't really count when we talk about all Black performances because Motown's focus is on crossover. That's kind of how it came off. If that wasn't your intent, then you know, let me know. But that's how it sounded, as if they don't count. They are all Black cast, but they don't count. Because Motown tried to give their stuff to us white folks anyway.
But if you think about it, when Motown got up there, they probably did old songs that were sung by new artists.
The not new Boys artists to Men. Singing. Boys to Men probably sung their songs.
Right, but you know how many people done been on? You know how many people done been on Motown? It's been a whole bunch of people on Motown. I'm pretty sure they were singing old songs so that people could relate to it. So there's the difference.
But when you think about Motown, right, like even with Motown Review, you don't think about younger artists, like other than Boyz II Men, like what other younger artists would you think about that could equate to Motown's level of like just imprint on the world?
I can't remember nobody on Motown. I didn't even know Boyz II Men was on Motown.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I thought they was on, like, you know how they signed with Motown, but then they under somebody else who's under somebody else. That's how the deals and stuff went back then.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that they was directly linked to
Motown?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Motown, yeah. Well, they did have, didn't Motown Philly, was that a song? That was a song.
There was a song.
Yeah, but still, back in the day, they was screaming out so many different labels and stuff that they was attached to, which is under a bigger umbrella, basically.
Yeah.
So they did have more, you know what I'm saying, people, but they wasn't doing showcases and stuff for those people. They was doing, like, older cuts, if you ask me, when it came down to that. So that's what makes a difference. Like, because if it come down to, like, this year, what fucking song do Dr. Dre got that's a crossover? What you gonna count his end of play days? Like,
I mean, you know what? He's probably not gonna play anything for NWA. He's probably gonna play everything else from like Eminem.
Oh, absolutely.
Or that era. He's not gonna go way back.
He better not, because
right, it's gonna be a blackout.
Fuck up the bag when fuck the police.
But that's the thing, though. That's what I'm saying. You could have people up there now that are people of color, and stuff happened back in the day, and they was a hated person back in the day. But like now, you know what I'm saying? For them to have him up there, number one, first and foremost, after making a song called "Fuck the Police," it's just, you know what I'm saying? That's a wonderful time for me. I'm going to acknowledge that. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Because Dre been making some shit since, you know what I'm saying, with Snoop and all that other stuff. He been making some shit since back in the day that a whole bunch of people wasn't, you know what I'm saying, too happy with when they started coming out with the, they were censoring stuff and the videos and all that other stuff. For him to be headlining is just amazing, if you ask me. That means that we done came far in the whole situation of them getting the notoriety and all the other stuff they supposed to have. Because you can't consider him to be crossover at all.
Yeah, why can't you? Why can't you consider him to be crossover?
Not to me. I mean, unless you mean all of California, because they got like over half of our population. not to me. He's not a crossover artist to me. He's been one genre his whole career. He might did some songs, a little bit catchy for folks and all the other stuff, but that's not a crossover to me.
So let me be clear. I'm excited for any halftime show that feature all black people performing in any type of fashion. I'm all for it. However, I do believe Dre has crossover music. If he only stuck to non-crossover music and he only did music that was similar to, not NWA music, but well, similar to NWA or the messaging they had in that music, and he didn't cross over at all, like you're talking about Fuck the Police and he didn't cross over at all, no, he would not be doing a halftime show today.
Oh, but so him saying, singing songs off of the Chronic, that's going to help because everybody's smoking weed?
Possibly. I don't think he's going to do much of, he may, like, if they get up and him and Snoop do Rolling Out
the
Street.
Produced, nigga, you know they finna do Ain't Nothing But, no, they may not do Nothing But G thing, but they going to do, damn, what is the joint?
Can they truly do, like, they could do Gin and Juice maybe. They keep probably gonna do California, That's How We Party. And do
he ain't gonna do that because Tupac on it. Hold on. The song that I'm thinking of.
Because he does have production credits and a whole Steel bunch of stuff. Dre. That's why
they gonna do that.
If it was they a versus, it could be a versus. That's why Diddy was saying it could be him and Dre, because he does have a whole bunch of production.
That's probably
so
what
he
does.
If he does songs like that, then yeah, we can say maybe.
He's not going to do the songs that are controversial. He's not going to do the songs that aren't crossover. That's the whole, I mean, point blank and period. It even if you may say that he's not a crossover artist. He's done crossover music, and I guarantee he get up there, he not gonna do crossover songs. If he do Gin and Juice, I'm calling y'all, I'm like, I was wrong. I will be in my house with my Gin and Juice, because I love that song. It's like one of my favorite songs. I know all the words for some reason. But
girl, everybody know the words.
Everybody know the words. Yeah.
That's a top tier rap song right there.
So I'm still trying to find the ratings for the halftime show. It seems like this halftime show with Motown was kind of like in the middle. It was the highest, it wasn't the lowest.
So just to kind of piggyback on what y'all were saying, I don't think Dr. Dre intended to be a crossover artist, because when he came out with Eminem, he's still very much producing black ass music, but it crossed over when he got with Eminem. White boys love it. Black people love it too, but at the same time, it's still very much Dre. And that's my point. I don't think Dr. Dre makes music with the intent of crossing over. Now, with Motown, they made music with the intent to cross over because it was more money if they got a black and a white audience.
I disagree.
Go ahead.
I actually disagree, Bridget. I think most of what Dr. Dre do, and I love Dr. Dre, love him. He's been an awesome producer. I think most of what he tried to do was not to be crossover. I do really think his intent was to stay true to himself. But
That's
I don't
what
think
I'm
any producer, but I don't think any producer can completely do and be true to themselves and not have any crossover songs that they hate. I'm pretty sure there are some, not that they hate, but there are some that they produce, they might be like, you know, if I had to choose, that probably wouldn't have been the one I would have produced. Not to say it's not a great song, but does it have some feel of them crossing over? Yeah. So I think he probably didn't want to have any that were crossover, but I can't sit up here and think that he didn't do any songs that weren't crossover.
No. I'm saying he created the song with not the intent to cross over. I don't think that was in the back of his mind. He still just made music and the shit just got hot because he had the right person, you know, to push it to the forefront. Example, Eminem. Example, 50 Cent. Example, now I can't say Mary J. Blige. I don't know if white people know in this dancery like we do. You know what I'm saying?
Dancery.
They know any dancery.
I don't know if they know dancery like we do. We know the shit out of goddamn. I don't even know the name of the song. It's slipping by. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm saying those songs that he created, we know the Chronic Game. You know, you got to it. I don't know if there's a crossover album for, you know what I'm saying? We know the shit because we very, very black and the Chronic is a classic. But white people knowing it, he didn't do it with that intent. He didn't create that music.
The crossover. I get where you're coming from. I don't know. I'm gonna keep it 100.
Snoop Doggy Dog, it ain't no fun if my homies can't have fun. You telling me that's a crossover song?
That's right. Definitely not a crossover song. That
song is really, really popular. You go to somebody in California, they can sing that shit word for word because it's California. Even white people in California probably can sing that word for word because it was, I think it's centric to the area that they from, basically. Mm. Like, I wouldn't consider Eminem to be crossover because he's from Michigan and I'm from Michigan. So we've been hearing him for a long time before he even popped out. So it's different for us. I think it's centric to where you're from and how much of a crossover artist you'll be, because you can have all of the controversy and all of that other stuff that surrounded your career early and mid-career or whatever. And then for you to still be put on a stage, that's something that's kind of amazing.
Oh, it's definitely amazing. No, I'm not saying it's not amazing, but if he created every song and none of them were created with the intent of potentially crossover, I think that would be amazing and dope. I just can't say I believe it like Bridget believes it.
I don't think so. I can't. I mean, just to keep it 100, Snoop Dogg has crossed over, but not because he wanted to, not because he was trying to. Snoop Dogg is the same
person that he was before. And now you're doing stuff
you
with
know,
Martha Stewart.
Time out.
You make
sign
a
out exactly. Album. You mean to tell me Snoop Dogg back from 1996 would have done something with Martha Stewart?
Bruh, they had a show.
Exactly. Snoop Dogg, 1996 Snoop Dogg. You think 1996 Snoop Dogg would have done a show with Martha Stewart?
No. Well, right. I don't know. I don't know. I ain't gonna say.
No, because that was the. When did Pac come out? Was that in 98, 96-ish or 96, something like that?
95, 96, because he
when
died
did he
in 96. Get,
when did he beat the charge? When did Snoop beat the charge? 97?
Or 95.
I can't say the Snoop back in the day would have did it because they wouldn't have been hanging in the same circles. But the Snoop being the smart man that he is, trying to get longevity in the industry and all that other stuff, he rides the trends. When motherfuckers
exactly.
doing this, that, and the third,
he put out a reggae album, he did
a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay, so we want to call when Snoop Dogg does it, it's a trend. Like, he rides into the trend, not that he's crossing over. Because to me, that's crossover. It's riding to the trend, true enough.
Have you, But I think what he does is a crossover. But have you listened to the music? It is still very black.
I've not heard Snoop put out a single song to within the last 10 years.
But he has.
He has. So that's a good point. Haven't listened to Snoop at all.
Yeah, the Snoop ain't crossed over at all. I mean,
as far as his music is concerned,
correct.
Okay,
as far as his whole situation, his lifestyle, like he's still Snoop, but
unapologetically Snoop,
and people still, they've gravitated towards him. People are open about what he does. Like they don't give a fuck that Snoop smoke 4 blunts in a day. Allegedly. No, I don't know how many blunts. Allegedly. I'm just saying.
But I think he's changed his persona though too. Cause he's less, because you know, back in the day, Snoop, he was with what gang was it with? The Crips? I think it was the Crips.
He still wear Crip paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm. Did he just own the Crips, but
he doesn't talk about them like he normally would talk about
them. Have you seen the video or something? Like he still be throwing up the sign. He still be messing with people that's still in that life or were a part of that life.
Nah, because I ain't seen.
He's still been the same.
Since he was doing, what was it? Since he was with like No Limit. That's the last time I was listening to Snoop.
People are more open to Snoop now. He himself has not changed. Society has changed, I guess, a little bit. And they're like, oh, Uncle Snoop, man, this nigga doing goddamn Corona commercials, the beer.
But that's the other thing, though. Again, like, some stuff Snoop has changed.
Oh, you can put it right there.
I can't sit here and say it's all been the society around him accepting Snoop. Snoop has changed some of his acceptance as well.
I don't think Snoop has changed at all. At all.
Okay.
And that's what's, I mean, I think that he's getting more opportunities from, you know what I'm saying, white America, quote unquote. I mean, Martha fucking Stewart, and the VH1 show. But overall, if you talk to Snoop, if you follow Snoop on Instagram, he just called Gayle a goat mouth bitch a couple years ago.
He did.
So, exactly. Did. So you You're can right. I call he a one? That. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so he still is that type of nigga.
Did he apologize for that though too?
He came back and apologized and said he was out of order. But yeah, he called Go Mount Beach on Instagram. That nigga still that nigga from Long Beach. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. I guess we can agree to disagree. I mean he's Snoop, but I still think I can't see how any of them, and I'm thinking about him, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, have gotten to this point. They're all gonna change because they're gonna grow, they're gonna mature. And some of the things they used to do, they're probably not doing anymore. Okay, I don't follow Snoop as much, but I feel like you at some point they've done things where they probably in their younger lives thought, oh man, this is a crossover, or what we're talking about crossover, or this is giving in to what society wants me to do. And I believe they've done a little bit of that. If not, nobody's gonna truly be the same throughout the whole entire industry career. So I believe all of the artists have done somewhat of that at some point in time. Very few have not.
And at the same time, I mean, I agree. I'm just bringing up more of a point. But Mary J. Blige, do you think she's crossed over?
Now, Mary J., I don't think so. Mary J., you seem to be talking about her life. MJ be talking about her life, man. She just be talking about how things have occurred. Now, somebody has probably walked in and say, hey, Mary, I think you should change X to Y because it'll be more accepting. Like, she probably want to say, fuck that nigga and some other, you know, expletives, but she didn't in some of her music. So, hey, who's to say? Like, I'm not Mer, but I can just imagine the pain that she pushing through that song. She could have said some other words than the words that she said. So, But I don't feel like Maria crossover. I feel like she's talking about her life, but I feel like, you know, some people got producers, they got people that say, oh, it's supposed to be more accepted if you change it from this to this.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, I don't think that has happened in these group of artists that are going to perform for the halftime show. Like, they have some crossover hits, but I don't think the intent was for them to crossover. Like, Mary J. Blige is still 1993. Like, she ain't got no crossover. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's still black ass Mary. She finna get out there and do that Mary J. step on the halftime show. The white folks gonna be like, what the fuck is going on? But the black people gonna be going up.
Yes.
We gonna be stepping with
her.
Yes.
We finna go up. But yeah, and we started talking about Jay, and we done went. See, this is how random we are. I love our conversations because we evolved to something totally different, honey.
It took on a life of itself.
Okay, yeah. Well, since we still on the music tip, Les Pebbles want to go next.
I was gonna ask a question about. We was debating on something. I seen it somewhere. Oh, if you're an introvert or an extrovert, and how has that impacted your life, as in early in your life and like now? How does it impact being an introvert or an extrovert? That was the basic gist of it. I can't find it on my phone, but yeah.
It's all good. That's a good ass question. Okay, I'm definitely introverted. But, and people never know it because they like, you're so, I don't know. When I get to know you and I start talking, I can, you know what I'm saying? I warm up to people. But I've learned to kind of exist as an extrovert because people think my introvertness is, they take it as, I don't know, they take it personally. I don't know. They think I'm mean otherwise. And it's because I could look a certain way and people are like, damn, she mean as hell. Or I come off as standoffish sometimes. Sometimes I don't give a shit. You just gonna get what you get. But I'm an introvert, definitely. And as I got older, I started learning to become more of an extrovert as needed, but I love to be by myself. I have no problems with that whatsoever. I need to be by myself to recharge. Like today, I didn't feel like doing shit today. I ain't want to see nobody. I ain't want to go to yoga class. I'm gonna be out and about in these streets next week, so I need me time just to calm down. So I can be out in the world and be friendly, I guess.
I'd say I'm a introvert, and it hurts me because sometimes the stuff that I say what I'm thinking because I'm always in my thoughts and all the other stuff. The extrovert, I think I'm an introvert at the house, and in the working world, I'm an extrovert. And that's what make it bad because I have a take charge, take over type of attitude and stuff. But it does, me being introverted, it does hurt me in certain points because I'll shut the fuck off, like, for real. I'll disappear for days, weeks, months, and all the other stuff on end. But that's something that I need to do for me, basically.
Mm. So you would shut down for weeks, days, months?
Mm-hmm. I'll go forever, for real. And then if I start talking to somebody again, it's like, we just start off from wherever we left the convo because everybody understand that that's how I am. Like, I'll just dip off.
Yeah, man, you be retreating. And I be like, damn, there go Pebbles.
You do be retreating.
Hey, Pebbles.
That's a good word for it. She be retreating like a monster. You look up like, dang, I ain't heard some Pebbles. I ain't seen in the group chat. What's going on?
And then I'll pop in, say something random, and then I'm off again like this. Yep.
That's exactly what happens. I don't take it personally either. I'd be like, oh, damn, she all right. She came back to the chat. If you don't come back, you know who's going to come looking for you.
Mia.
Wink, wink. Me they got the first show. Look, the first flight smoking. I'm out. Michael, I got to go to, I'm going to Colorado. I'll be back by the end of the week.
That nigga come looking for your ass, her and another person that ain't been on the podcast yet. They gonna come
don't play. Don't play. I ain't playing with my friends. Like, if I ain't heard from you, nobody's heard from you, I can't figure out who's seen you. I'm coming.
No, but that's the same thing that Bridget was saying. It's like sometimes you just gotta, I don't know, go back and do your own thing. And just, I don't know. For me, I'm just figuring out my way and stuff. So I'll just dip off. It don't be important to nobody else, but it be important to me for me to just, you know what I'm saying? Go find my ground in the game, and then I'll come back.
So I am that friend that I believe that everybody needs to like have that space, definitely. But if I ain't heard from you,
she coming to look for your ass.
You already know I'm coming.
She gonna be all on the goddamn
on the calendar. Like, wait, I ain't been on a group chat in 10 days. Mia probably gonna call if I don't answer. She gonna do this. Let me just throw a message in the chat.
You better
off my back, and then I ain't gotta worry about her calling me because that's probably what she was going through her head. Like, if I just throw a comment in the chat, I'm like, oh, okay, I see one in the chat. I'm good. I'm not back off.
Hey. See, but you got to realize, for y'all, I've been around y'all since, you know what I'm saying, first went to college and stuff. The other people that I meet in my life, you got to understand, I was moving around every 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I didn't form, you know what I'm saying, for me, forming connections and stuff like that. When I leave that area, 9 out of 10, you're not on none of my social media and stuff that I had at the time when I'm there. I'll add you after I done left, but you'll probably only stay on there for like a year or something, and then I'm going to lose contact with you because I've never had that connection. I don't form that connection with like outside people, if they make any sense. I keep it separate. This is my family. These are my friends. You just somebody I met. I'm going to be here for a couple of years. I'm here by force, not by choice. Might meet some great people, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry if you piss anybody off. You might meet some great people along the way, but in general, I just don't keep in contact because I know every time I go to a new place, it's me starting all over again and getting to know people. And sometimes that just be a process. I ain't going to just jump up and, oh, you my friend. Come on, let's go chill. I don't do that. I don't go to people's houses. I just don't do all of that stuff. So that's what makes it different for me.
You didn't do that with us. I think you really tried to give us away. We just decided we weren't going to go anywhere. I can specifically remember you being mean to Laretha. Laretha said in our group, she said, Pebble, I know you're trying to be mean to me because you're leaving and you don't want to miss anybody, but that's not going to work. Like,
it's so Laretha.
I'm going to love you anyways.
That is
so funny.
I think you tried, but it was just... No. I met y'all, and then I joined the military during that time frame of me meeting y'all. So then after that, me going somewhere and being that open and being able to, you know what I'm saying, talk to people and do all that other stuff. I was talking to y'all, but I wasn't really talking to other folks like that.
But that's what I'm saying. When you first met us, you weren't talking to us for real. Like, you were trying to get rid of us. Like, I remember we came to your room and introduced ourselves. You stepped the door in our face. So I was like, huh, okay, well, whatever. The dorm. How you meet people?
I think I was closer to Sharmika.
Oh, sure.
I was closer. Because you know she would sit in the room and she would just start talking to you and stuff. And me sitting downstairs and all that other stuff, like, I was closer to her because she would just talk to me whether I wanted her to talk to me or not. And then that's when y'all came along.
Because I met you too in a common area. You and Smeek were doing math and it was something we talked about, math homework. And then I thought we were vibing because I was helping with the homework. We were getting it. Then the next day I saw you, I was like, this girl, but she really got one past me? Like, we just spent 2 hours together the other day in a common area? And I said, hey, pal.
That's my life. And you said, that's my life, though. That's moving. I move around a lot. I've been moving around ever since I was younger. So having friends and all that other stuff is just, I hung around my family. And now I consider y'all to be family. So it's just, I don't know, it's different.
It's not, now we're part of the crew. Yeah, girl, you trying to get rid of us.
Basically, we just pushed
out. You probably like, damn, they keep following me. How do they keep wanting to talk?
That's exactly why. That's exactly how I felt for real. Like,
yeah. I would say I'm an introvert. I was a super duper introvert growing up. I didn't talk a lot. I couldn't figure out how to start conversations. I can remember in junior high school, you know, certain people you wanted to talk to or develop a friendship with, I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I was just an awkward kid. So, but I had friends that just didn't seem to be the friends that I thought I wanted to have. I kept thinking I was going to be with these other groups. But now I feel like I'm still an introvert, but I have perfected acting like an extrovert. Like I can act like an extrovert every day. And it becomes easier and easier the older I get, but it's exhausting. So I feel like people who are extroverts, they thrive on being around people. They thrive right. on, you know, being in social settings. I don't thrive on it. I can do it for a while. And then after I'm ready to go, I need a right. nap. Like I'm a, like you just drained me. I can't do anymore.
Correct. That's me. It's so funny. Like one day, like me and my husband, we were just sitting down watching TV. We weren't really having a conversation. And my mother-in-law was like, "Do y'all ever talk to each other?" And I'm just like, "Yeah." And she was like, "Y'all just sit on the couch and y'all just watch TV?" "Yeah, that's how I prefer it. Like, if I'm watching something, I don't want your ass talking in the middle of it. Shut the fuck up." But I'm just finding it so weird. I was like, I find comfort in just being next to somebody and I don't have to constantly keep up a conversation. Like, I don't have to do that. I'm fine with not just talking to be talking. Like, I don't have to do that. But with that being said, now I don't know. I'm gonna have to test this theory out. We have an extroverted son and he loves to fucking talk.
Wait a minute. You think he's really extroverted? You just think he's lonely and he has to talk to you guys because he doesn't have anybody else to talk to?
I don't know. I gotta test it out. See, he loves to be around people. He loves to be around people. He loves to like now he's getting to that teen stage where he wanna be in his room all the time. But I think he actually likes to talk to other people. I think he thrives off that. I ain't figured it out yet. I'm not 100% sure because you don't think so, Mia?
I think it's the only child syndrome thing.
Okay.
Because for real, like I'm actually an introvert, but I talk a lot. I used to talk a lot to my mother. My mama thought, "Oh my gosh, when is this little girl gonna shut up?" I didn't have anybody else to talk to. But if you don't have anybody else to talk to, you'll be glad when somebody else comes over that you can talk to about stuff, especially if they're open. So yeah, he probably talking to because he ain't got nobody else to talk to.
But he talked to everybody. Like once he know you, it's over.
Oh yeah,
it's over for you hoes. He don't talk.
Yeah, to but it sounds like though it takes him a minute to get to know you and to feel comfortable before he starts talking. Or is he instantly just like?
I don't know. Exactly. See, I'm the mama. So we talk all the time. Like he get in car, he get like, "Mama, this happened, blah, blah, blah. What you do at the work?" Like he want a full conversation. And I'm just like, "Nigga, I just spend all this time talking to all these folks at work. Now, you know, I got to talk to you," which is fine. You know, that's how we vibe or whatever. But nah, he want to talk. And he'll keep on talking.
I think it's the only child thing. I think it's just the fact. I talk that way to my mom to this day. Like, I'll be like, she's just like, "Lord, can you slow down? Can you just stop talking for a minute?"
Yeah, baby, love to talk. Love it. Love to hear himself talk. He talked to himself.
If you're an only kid, you have most kids have the most vivid imagination. Even to this day, I can make up some stories. She'll be like, "Why did you not go into theater?" Because you make up just some real lies, just because. Like, because it's what you do. You think about stuff and you can quote things and create stuff. And not saying, you know, kids that got siblings can't create stuff, but man, when you by yourself, I made up songs, I made up stories, I actually made doll clothes. She would be like, she was my alter ego. She wore clothes I ain't even wear. Like, it's so we just do stuff.
So cute. I love it.
Just to kind of express yourself because you have no one else to express it to.
But okay, so I find it hard. This is interesting to me when you said that you were very introverted as a child. I am shocked to know that. Because I would never put you as introverted as a child.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to say introverted. Remember I said in the beginning, in the beginning when you were younger than now, I wouldn't put you as being introverted now. I would say you're more extroverted.
Than all of us. You really? And Sharon.
Mm-hmm. You would start a conversation, build a connection with just about anybody. You give them their fair shake. So I would say you're more extroverted now. I would love that. Thank you for saying that.
That's that learned extrovertness. Like I still struggle with it sometimes depending on who's in the room, but I can start a conversation better now than I used to. But yeah, when I was younger, I was ultra shy, but I was friendly and I was courteous. I would say hello, you always have a smile greeted to you, but then after the hello, I didn't know what else to say. It was just like crickets.
Wow. Well, you fooled me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I understand that how you are more introverted because I have, hell, we done sat together on and watched and not said shit.
And not talk at all.
Don't say a word. And we like, damn, you know what I'm saying? We just pick up whatever. So yeah, I do.
But somebody else in the room is looking at us like, why y'all not talking? Like,
right. We ain't paid no attention to it. We just like, oh shit, we was watching TV. Yeah, we was watching whatever.
We literally have been in the room like, you might be listening to music and I might be reading the book. We just stay next to each other and they're like, wow, why y'all not talking? Like, we don't have to talk.
You don't have to talk. I ain't got to feel the air with noise. I can just chill.
True shit.
Mm-hmm.
True shit.
All right. So, my question. I had a very serious question at first.
Okay.
But
at first.
At first, I had a very serious question. I was going to bring up, I forgot the damn girl name, child. Young Baby Tate. Have y'all heard of this rapper?
Is that the one who took the picture online or something? The body image?
Yes. They took a picture of her. She was performing at Afropunk or something. And she has a little bit of a belly. You know, just a little bit. It ain't a lot. She 25. But she clearly has not altered her body. And she took a picture, and the picture was up on her social media, and people had a goddamn fit because they were just like, she need to get her body done. She need a BBL or whatever. And Young Baby Tate said, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
She said, I'm fine, whatever. And the reason why I look like this is because I've been eating good, okay? But I was going to talk about that. But fuck that. I'm throwing the audible. This Drake versus Michael Jackson shit. Okay, so.
What?
Listen. So on social media, there was a question asked. Was Michael Jackson? Because Drake just released the album, Certified Lover Boy. He had like 10 songs on top 40 or top 10 at the
top
same
10. Time. He had 9. It was 9 out of the 10 songs in the top, I think it was the top 200. If I'm either top 100 or top 200, it was 9 out of the 10 songs.
And I think he broke a record or something. Mm-hmm. So somebody brought up the question. I think it was an article. Was Drake now a bigger artist?
Hell fuck no, because when Michael Jackson was out, they didn't have social media and all that other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So what Michael was getting was pure sales. Drake is
thank
getting-
you.
Stuff that
niggas was standing
people were standing in line, you know what I'm saying, to go buy a CD or an album or something like that. Like it's way, way different times. It's way, way different. You can't Agreed. Even compare the two because Michael had pure sales. Like literally go take your ass there. Your mama
take
had to take
your ass to
like,
the store.
It's
agreed.
Because like the stuff that you get credit for now, don't you? You get credit for them watching it on YouTube, listening to it on Spotify and all that other stuff. Like all of that stuff wasn't even out back then. So it was straight up word of mouth, whatever commercials and stuff he was in. People had known him from back in the day. Then didn't his hair catch on fire for what, some Super Bowl commercial or something?
Yeah, the Pepsi commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, like they've been knowing him for, nigga been singing since he was young. You know what I'm saying? He put out an album when he was like young. You can't compare like the
7 years old.
Yeah, you cannot compare the two. Because if it wasn't for, if it was not for the internet, people wouldn't even know Drake like that. He'd be a local artist, some type of Toronto. He might have branched off and went to other folks, but I don't think he would be as popular as he is right now if it wasn't for them being able to get on the internet and troll when your album coming out and do all this other. That's all hyping stuff up because people are on the, we're in a phase in our life where you just have to know. Everybody has to know. Everybody got a computer in their hand as in their phone. So it's way, way different. Yeah. You can't even put them in the same. To me, you can't even put them in the same fucking group. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I agree. I mean, we probably could have talked about young Baby Tate, a little Baby Tate, whatever her name is.
No, I have more to speak on, but go ahead.
No, because I agree with Pebbles. I don't think Drake holds a candle to Michael Jackson. He broke some album sales because, like, he puts out a lot of music too, though, right? So compared to the number of tracks that Michael Jackson may have put out, Drake may put out like 10 times more songs than Michael just to get to Michael's level. So he got to work 10 times harder to do something. It didn't take Mike that much to do. And like you said, social media is running rampant and, you know, it's easier to reach people now than it was when Michael Jackson was coming up. So no, like he got his album sales because he wrote good songs. He didn't have to write a whole lot of songs to saturate the market. So ain't nothing else playing but his. So of course, if nothing else was playing but those songs, then yeah, I mean, you putting out 50 songs, okay, so maybe they're going to pick 20 or 10 of yours to put on the top 200 charts. I think Michael just has a better quality.
So, that's because no. Mike them had to grow up in the fucking Chitlin' circuit. There's right. The difference. They had to go all over the place and do just to be all over the place. So, yeah, they had to make themselves super saturated back even when people, every household didn't even have a fucking TV and shit. They've been knowing about them since in the day. So that's why I say you can't even compare the two. Cause now they put out something on Instagram or something like that for promotion. That do like 1 million, 2 million views in a couple of hours or something. Like it's like way, way different. It wasn't that easy to get your stuff out there back in the day. Once you signed a record deal, you was a local artist who ended up going on the Chitlin' circuit and then, you know what I'm saying, being seen by more people. Way, way different. And then that was back at the time. Was they even letting them on the TV shows and stuff that they had? Very few and far in between. What's the name? Soul Train, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They was letting them on Soul Train and stuff like that, but you really didn't, aside from Soul Train, and then there's still people that don't even know about Soul Train like that.
Where Soul Train is, right?
Yeah, you gotta go find that on I think they got them on VHS and shit. Like it's kind of hard to actually find them old ass episodes when the people was like jitterbugs and just coming out. Like to me it's just a different time.
My nigga said the jitterbug.
Not the jitterbug.
I call little kids, teenagers, whatever, jitterbugs, like Aretha Franklin and shit started singing and stuff inside of the church. But then she was making albums and all that other stuff. They was like real young. A lot of them was like real, real young when they first started singing. It wasn't too many artists that came out that was like older than a bitch like that back then. It was,
this is true. The
crossover was for like the younger, you know what I'm saying, younger kids and stuff.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to bring that up because we were actually outside, quote unquote, when Michael Jackson was out, when grown-ass men were falling out when that nigga hit the stage. Like, passing the fuck out. He ain't performed a note.
He said a word.
He ain't tipped his toe yet. He just hopped out of the bottom of the damn stage. And niggas, the whole 10 rows done fell out. They had ambulances.
They did.
People think we making this shit up. They had ambulances outside when people would fall out when this man performed. So Drake ain't doing it. Drake ain't.
Nah, he not. He
Michael
not.
That's your other point right there.
He's not impacting the world.
He not. He might did performances. Pack out.
He right. did performances. Drake
Michael
ain't doing
Jackson
no performances.
Was singing and dancing. I think it's a interview somewhere where they talked about this man would weigh himself before he got on stage, and he would lose 10 pounds.
What? That's crazy.
5 to 10 pounds by performing. Y'all, y'all don't understand the level of what Michael Jackson was. This man, like y'all see like the end parts, like people making fun of him, or his skin, his face, he looked a certain way, or we want to talk about him, you know, the situation with him and the little boys. We gonna acknowledge that, whatever. But Michael Jackson probably is the biggest artist, period. The biggest artist, period. Just like Pebbles brought up, niggas was going outside to go. They was waiting in lines to purchase albums when shit came out. Michael Jackson had 4 or 5 networks showing Remember the Time. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. It was on Fox, MTV, VH1, all this
BET.
Shit. BET. This man was showing all his videos came on after In Living Color. Do you remember when Black and White dropped? Of course you
I do.
Last one born yet. That's why you're asking this stupid ass question. Like Michael Jackson was that fucking nigga. That man took over. Like
and when MTV came out, when MTV came out and all them other shows and all that other stuff, it just made him bigger.
Exactly. And he used that platform. Because he's like, the man. Oh, okay, we finna do we doing videos. Bitch, let's do a video. Thriller. That was a whole thing. That was a whole look. I remember I got my hair braided by my cousin. My cousin had the tape. People used to come to their house in the projects and watch the Making a Thriller tape. I'm talking about 11 niggas in the project living room watching the Thriller tape. Drake ain't doing that, y'all. I'm sorry. No. He ain't
He's
doing
not.
It. And Drake is a big artist. Don't get me wrong. Within the last 10, 15 years. How long? Shit, Drake been out 15 years. God damn, we old. But Drake is a big artist. Don't get me wrong. He can play some shit. That's a crossover artist for your ass. But he got some jams. Like he get up there, he do a halftime show. You don't know what he got a plethora. Go back and look at Michael Jackson Super Bowl. Go back and look at it. Drake ain't doing it. I don't care. And somebody that might be just a little bit tad close to big like Michael Jackson is his sister. Then his sister is that bitch too. So that's
I love Janet.
If we gonna talk about big artists, come on. I'm like, Drake ain't even touching his sister. He not touching fucking Janet Jackson, bitch, girl. This shit just frustrated me.
Bridget, tell us how you really feel.
It frustrates me because I'm like, let's do the history. Don't talk about the numbers. Because sure, Drake has bigger. You know, he got 40, like top 10. It's ridiculous. Like he got.
But he puts out. But he puts out more songs. You can't, because if Drake got songs that come out like almost every month, it feel like he got a new song he dropped. Michael Jackson ain't have to put that many songs out before they went top. Drake literally is putting out, I gotta Google how many songs Drake got out.
He I'm got about
his own songs, collabs.
He got 40. He got, I already Googled it. That's why the thing was brought up that he has 40 top 10 hits. And who's after him is Michael Jackson. And who's after that is Mariah Carey.
No, so he got 40 top 10 hits. How many songs did he have to create for them 40 to become hits?
But I don't want to say that because how music is released now, nigga, you can, you can release a song in 24 hours. Like, you can do stuff so quickly.
That's what I'm saying. So Michael Jackson didn't have the opportunity to release songs as quickly as Drake has, right? So his songs took time. They took a minute to craft it. Whereas nowadays, they pushing out songs like he changed draws. Every day is a different song that's coming out. So probability-wise, if you're just talking math, you know, yeah, he's putting out more songs. Probability-wise, he's going to have more hits because he got more songs out. And I think that's why he does it.
Maybe, but let me see. Scorpion came out in 2018, and then Certified Lover Boy came out in 2021. But he's released like singles with other people and all of that in between that. But at the same time, right. Michael Jackson was a superstar since he was 9. Like, that man had been, so even though Michael Jackson got the hits too, if we gonna keep it a buck. But Drake ain't Michael Jackson. Drake ain't touching a torch to Michael Jackson. Of course, Drake has the hits, like they say. But when you made a hit in 1985, bitch, like they had been working on the song 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So now, you know what I'm saying? It take a little bit more to craft stuff. Technology has come a long way. But yeah, man, that just rubbed me the wrong way when I heard that. I was like, what? And we ain't even talking about revisionist history. Like, we just like, oh, Michael Jackson, y'all don't really think that shit pisses me off because they just like, oh, Chris Brown. Chris Brown is Michael Jackson, the next Michael Jackson. Bitch, get the fuck out of my face with that bullshit. Mm-mm. Yes, Chris Brown can sing and dance a lot and very well. But he ain't no motherfucking Michael the Joseph Jackson, bitch. Y'all better get out of my face. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with Michael Jackson's name. Now, whatever he did in his past, it very well might hold some weight. But don't play with Michael Jackson in his catalog, his performances. Do not play. Michael Jackson was that nigga. Like, the world stopped when Michael Jackson did a thing back in 1985 when we didn't have access to phones and shit. Nigga, we sat down. When Michael Jackson did a thing, bitch, everybody be quiet. Michael Jackson is on TV. Shut up. And we finna watch Michael Jackson do a thing. Right. And people talked about this shit forever. Drake do a thing. Girl, I'm going, doing my dance. Drake, look, stop playing with Michael Jackson's name. That's all I got to say. that just makes me mad. I'm sounding like the old nigga in the club, but I'm just like, go back and do the history. Go look at YouTube. Go look at Michael Jackson performing and see these folks falling out. I'm not making this shit up. Folks straight up fell out. Like, and missed, they done paid all this money to see Michael Jackson and they done fainted. And they don't miss half to the show. See what I'm saying? It's like, don't play with Michael Jackson's name like that. Don't play with Michael Jackson's name like that. That's all I got to say.
So, and on that note.
And on that note. You can talk about Young Baby Tay if you want to. It's fine. Unless y'all want to wrap this joint up.
Well, it's about 4:30. Maybe we can talk about, I had to Google her because I didn't know who she was.
Basically, I didn't know who she was either until it came up on my, in my YouTube, Facebook news that like people were just really, really making fun of her body. And I'm just looking at her, I'm just like, she's 25. And she got a little bit of a stomach. So what? But we have become so consumed with what Instagram models look like, or not just Instagram models, but just women in general having this certain body type, and when we see a natural body existing the way it should exist, people go in up in arms and they just say some mean, hateful shit. And young Baby Tay was just like, y'all got me fucked up. She started this whole little thing on her Instagram page where she was just like, women, show me your natural body. Well, they sent pictures of themselves in their natural bodies or whatever. And just like, I appreciate you, you know, giving us light and showing us, hey, hell, this is what my damn body look like. I ain't got money for a BBL. I ain't gonna get a BBL. So, you know what I'm saying? She said it. She was just like, I'm 25. My body is still settling. She was like, I didn't have all this booty when I turned 20. When I turned 21, 25, I got a little bit of booty. And she was just like, why would I mess that up?
So, Bridget, can I ask a question real quick? Do you think it was her... Was it that people were talking about her body, or was it more around what she was wearing?
Both.
And how she, her body looked in it?
Both.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you gotta remember the time we in now. Now they getting up in arms about body image and all of that stuff is important now for everybody. Mm-hmm. Across the board. And you got people like Lizzo. It's the opposite of that. She's unapologetically big and she loves her. All of herself. And that's when the artists come out with confidence, they're gonna always find a way to tear it down. Music would be good, you know what I'm saying? Good spirit, all that other stuff, they're gonna always find a way to tear it down. It's the minute you get to that issue, that's gonna always be an issue. Because remember when a lot of artists came out back in the day, it was if you wasn't like pretty thin and all that other stuff, they wouldn't give you the time of day either.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been thinking in the snicker most of my life. So I can completely understand about not having quote unquote the model type, or what did you call it? Instagram model? Is that what we're called? What you said, Bridget? The Instagram model?
Yeah, flat stomach, big hips, big ass. Booty. Mm-hmm.
And some booties don't even be looking real. I'm like, is that so real butt? Like, can your waist really be that small? Your butt be that big? And so
thighs don't match.
Your booty, if your booty big with your thighs like a pencil shape and you got a pencil waist, I don't know. That's your real booty. But I like that women are embracing their true selves, but embrace their true selves. Right. So like, okay, if you got a big booty, you got big thighs, maybe your stomach ain't as little. Yeah, I think that's is good to embrace. I would prefer people to want to think healthy though, too. So like if what's her name again? Little
Young Baby Tate.
Oh.
Young Baby Tate. I looked up somebody else. Young Baby Tate. Okay, she got a push. Okay. So be it. She may be eased, maybe getting more than what she thought she was getting. But the thing is, we're still ingrained to think thinner is better, right? I think about Monique and how she used to talk about women who were skinny the whole entire time she considered herself to be big. And she lost hella weight. So she lost it and that was for her health and good for you. You know what I mean? You're trying to get your health intact. You know, if that's the way you're supposed to be healthy, then fine. But she talked so bad about being thin. And became thinner. Like she's real thin. Like her neck is real skinny. So I don't know. I don't think people should badmouth people's bodies at all. I do sometimes question people's choices of what they wear, but I know now we're in this world where you can wear anything. You don't matter what it is. You can put it on. And we didn't grow up. I don't remember us growing up like that, so I don't know how to respond to it now.
I love it. If I see a girl out and she got her stomach out and it's not the traditional flat stomach, I'd be like, go on, girl. You doing the damn thing. Because it take a lot of confidence for you to come out in the world and not have that traditional, look to your body and you like, well, bitch, I still look good. And y'all finna get all of this. And I'd be like, yes, yes, do that. And if I can't do it, I'm not finna shut the fuck up. I'm gonna shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. If I feel like I can't go out and do that, then I'm not finna criticize this young lady or older woman or whatever to do what I wouldn't traditionally do myself. I'm like, girl, yes, do that. Mm-hmm. Yes, wear green hair. Yes, yes, absolutely. Go wear blue hair. Do it, girl. Yes, ma'am. I love it. I love it. More people.
Didn't Rihanna give her props?
Yes. I think Rihanna finna give her to work with Savage Fenty.
Yeah, because I liked her I think she got like two of them. It might be three. Where they do a show and stuff, and they have a whole lot of body positivity in the show. I mean, people were still talking about the show for other reasons and stuff. It always some controversy surrounding it, but she do be having different sized people that be modeling the lingerie.
Rihanna?
Yes. I think it's on Amazon. It's a Savage, I think it's Savage Fenty or something. It's a show. Mm-hmm. I think they on the second one. Is it the second one or the third one?
I think it's the third one. I haven't watched either one, but I know what you're talking about. It's like I think she also hired like the Victoria's Secret models because they don't do the Victoria's Secret thing anymore. So she has hired them to work for Savage Fenty. I was like, man, Rihanna, I love you. I love you. And I just want to smoke one time with you. just one time. Her and her team are awesome. I love it. She ain't got to come up with another album. I know the Navy, her fans probably disagree, but she ain't got to do nothing else. Nothing.
So, and I'm just looking at, because I've never heard a Young Baby tape, but it looks like, so some people might argue her choice and style of dress, they may not like. But if you ain't like it, you ain't like it before she put on the pants, because she was it looks like she was thinner at some point.
She probably was, but she's also 25. So, right. Yeah, your body, you are not the same. Shit, your body constantly changing.
I mean, to go from 18, you know, I gained like 20 pounds, 20 to 25 pounds between being 18 and being like
22. And still gaining weight to this day. Hell, 20 years later, I am not going to look the same way I look when I was 25. It just ain't going to happen. But, you know, I just thought it was cool for her to be like, I saw what she had on, but she was also performing. So, I mean, shit, she going to have on some wild ass shit. But, that's cool.
I don't think anybody should be, you know, calling her names and all types of stuff because of what she wears. So she just doing the same thing she been doing.
Yeah. That's it. But she was just like, fuck y'all. she was like, I'm like, I wish I had that damn confidence at 25 like she got. She got that lesson early. Good for her. And I hope that continues, because it's just like, especially in a world where we're just inundated with people have to look a certain way. We on Instagram, we see all these people with the flat stomachs and all of that. And that's not to say I'm not trashing anybody for getting a BBL. Do what you do, you know what I'm saying? But I think I'm glad to see that she took another side, like, I ain't got to do that. I'm happy in my own skin. I'm straight. I was a little chubby when they took that picture, but shit, I thought it looked fly to me. That was, she was like, this is iconic. And them people went all crazy in her Instagram. They was calling her all kind of names that they wouldn't say to her face, I guarantee. But yep, that was my little thing on Young Baby Tape. Oh, and also fun fact, Guess who her mama is?
You know her mama, girl.
Y'all know Dion Ferris, Penny with a Hole in It.
What's her name? Uh-huh. On the track? They say Love Jones. Is that Love Jones?
Yes,
that is Love Jones.
That is her mama.
Oh,
that's when I knew I was old. That's when I was like, damn, she got a 25-year-old baby. Good Lord, that's a child.
Is she our age? She must be our age.
Something like that. She might be a little bit older than we are, but yeah, baby, that's her baby. That's what Wikipedia told me anyway. Allegedly. So let me go back. Allegedly.
You can be a legend on Wikipedia sometimes.
That's our mama. All right, then I think we ain't never really get a question from you, but your question had evolved. So
it did. I'm good. We had a whole conversation out of mine. So yeah, I'm good.
That's what's up. Yes. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. What was the best thing that happened to y'all since the last time we talked?
The two concerts I went to.
Ah, yes. How was it? Other than that high-ass drink you had to pay for.
Woo! What's the name was in? To make it short, the Kevin Gates was in a low-budget area. I did get to see DDG. He's an artist that's from... Detroit. I think he started off doing the internet and stuff, and he transferred over. He was like a headliner for him, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, it was over the train tracks, so you know them locations that's over the train tracks. Totally fun time. I thought I was younger than what the fuck I really was. Then we went to go see Lil Baby and them. I think that was a Tuesday and stuff. And I don't think I made it back till 1 o'clock in the morning. They said it was no smoking in that, but everybody was smoking. It was a pretty good time.
Little baby,
Lil Durk, and Cora LeRae, whatever, the Zeno daughter.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had never heard of her like that. Yeah.
I mean, I had only heard of her on Love and Hip Hop or Growing Up. What is it? Growing Up Hip Hop.
Growing Up Hip Hop.
Yeah. Nah, she actually got some song. I knew the chorus to like maybe two of them. I don't know how, probably from listening to the radio, driving somewhere or something. But yeah, it was a pretty good show.
Somebody talked about I was getting my hair done last week, and they were saying they went to see Lil Baby, Lil Durk, that girl you just talked about, and Nicki Minaj was there.
Yeah, she came out in the one that was in North Carolina, not North Carolina. California, I think.
Mm-hmm,
I think it was the one LA in California. Show. Yeah, mm-hmm. The one in California, she came out. And I think they said, was it Drake? I don't think it was Drake. It was somebody else that ended up coming out too.
But yeah, he was like, Lil Baby is a star. He was so hyped. He was just like, Lil Baby got it. I don't know what it is, but that man got it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I like Lil Baby too.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I agree, because the demographic inside of there, it was like really, really mixed. I know this Colorado and all the other stuff, but yeah, it was really, really mixed. It was a good time for both of them. And there's some people in there that you wouldn't even think, like it was a whole bunch of, for Kevin Gates, it was a whole bunch of Hispanic people at the one we went to. So
really?
It was a really? Yeah. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, Mia, what's up?
So two things happened. Well, I had a lot of great conversation just about entrepreneurship. So just talking in general to people, you know, thinking about ideas, they were really helpful in providing different ways to do things and giving me different thoughts on stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the second thing was that I went with a good friend of mine to on a treetop journey.
You got to explain that. What?
So it's a place in Virginia and in Maryland where they do like different treetop, they call them treetop journeys, where it's really an obstacle course in the trees. Ropes and steps and ladders and bridges, and you got like a little harness and a zip line. So It was pretty cool. I thought I was gonna be a lot slower today than I was. We had three courses, we only did two. I was kind of tired after the second one. And she actually went and did it again today and did the third course. She was like, "Oh,
Wow.
it was so amazing. The workout was in balance." And I was like, "You think?" Because we were trying to balance on a little rope bridge, and it literally was like you were suspended in the air. It was a bridge with a plank and rope on the side. And so all you got is these like maybe four ropes to hang on to while you walk across the bridge. So it was kind of cool. It was interesting. It's good.
You better than me. So you're suspended in midair.
Well, you got like platforms. So you gotta go from one platform to the next to the next. But to get to the next platform, you gotta either walk across a bridge or you might be in some netting. So you gotta like everything is horizontal, but it's just the way that you have to get to the next platform.
Gotcha. Y'all sound. My best thing about this week is just that I found out that I can wear lock jewelry. My shit's simple as fuck. Yes. So I got my hair twisted. Well, it's interlocked. It's not retwisted, but I got it interlocked last Sunday, and my loctician was like, after I got away from under the dryer, she was like, "You want me to style it?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. I do want you to style it. You ain't never asked me that question." Then she walked over there and she was like, "I got some lock jewelry," and my eyes got big. I was so excited because I've been following Instagram pages with lock jewelry on it. And I'm just like, "Oh, I'm gonna give me some. I'm gonna give me some." And she had a plethora of different lock jewelry. I was so fucking excited. And I was like, "Bitch, I can pick any one of these." And she was like, "You can pick any one of these." And I picked four. And I've been rocking the shit out of my lock jewelry, my nigga. Like, yes.
You're still excited. That's
Yeah, I
fine.
know, right?
I was like, I was scared to wear it because I had just been wearing like one little shell. One shell, and I was like, I don't even know if I should be wearing lock jewelry because your hair has to be mature for you to wear it. You can't just wear lock jewelry because you'll fuck up your locks. So I had just been wearing one little shell. And when she was like, "Yeah, girl, your hair mature enough to wear lock jewelry," girl, why you tell me that? I'm finna be on Amazon, all ordering all kind of shit. One of them already done fell off. It was just gonna stay.
I
Yeah, the little hand fell off. I had put it on another lock and then it fell off again. So I was just like, maybe I'm not meant to. Maybe it's growing and it's just letting me know that I don't need to have it up there. But listen, I'm finna wear the shit out some lock jewelry. Ooh, y'all ain't gonna be able to tell me nothing. I'm finna be bad bitch with some lock jewelry. I already been wearing
luxury.
waist beads. Girl! I'm finna be the motherland Erykah Badu-ism bitch, okay? Yes, ma'am. But yeah, I
Now
still got about. I
you
love
use
it.
your
It is so it's so pretty to me. I just love it, and I'm so glad that I'm able to like experiment and just have a good time with it.
Cool.
Yep, so luxury. Okay, so we're gonna wrap this joint up. It's always a pleasure talking to you ladies. We just
Always.
so fun. Pebbles, thanks for coming on the podcast and giving us some time. She didn't forget about us.
No.
And then get so I don't want to tell on you. Look too inebriated to talk to us. I appreciate it.
That's why I be asking you what time. You
I
got to give
know
me a
now. I
specific
know you
time.
need. You don't need a range. Your ass needs
Nah.
direct.
You gotta give me a time. I need the exact time.
I got you. All right. So follow us on Twitter. We're all in with Ace One, and on Facebook, all in with Ace. So we'll holler at y'all. Peace out.
Bye.